Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this, as you probably know, is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. Now, currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have one of those burning questions, one of those questions that keeps you up at night? Well, send it to us. You can do that by zapping us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Now, on today's program, the question we're going to tackle is this. If Jesus takes away the sins of the world, is everyone on earth forgiven? Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? Luckily, we have Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to discuss it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Bob?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks.
I'm feeling good, too. Are you ready for some questions?
You know, I wanted to tell the people what happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
Well, I saw a show, one of these game shows. I think it was Jeopardy, and the final question said, the countries of Wales and Bhutan have flags which contain a mythical creature. What is the name of that mythical creature? And I asked you, and you said it's an honest politician. I cracked up. No, it's a dragon.
It's a dragon. It's a dragon. Honestly, though, I mean, I don't trust any politician at this point.
If their lips are moving, they're probably lying.
I really just expect them to just make promises they never intend to keep.
Yeah.
And I don't trust the newspapers either to tell me the truth about these broken promises.
Oh,
either.
But Twitter and Facebook, now they're trustworthy.
Okay. My poor little grandmother has been emailing me, who's French, who's from Montreal, Canada, and they just live in a liberal bubble up there.
Right.
Honestly, it's just an extreme. She just keeps on sending me these links to the most far left liberal. I wouldn't even call them news media anymore. They're just propaganda outlets. I won't say the names of them, but we would call them mainstream news sources, but they really aren't. We need to be discerning, not just about the Bible, but about everything. I mean, we need, as Christians, we really need to be discerning because we need to be about the truth.
Did you know that this was also on one of my game shows?
Yeah.
That Pravda means truth in Russian?
Does it? Oh, it's the Ministry of Truth, just like in George Orwell.
Right.
1984. It's the exact opposite.
Right.
Yeah, we need to be people of the truth. Do you know what truth is, by the way?
What is truth?
Truth is correspondence to reality.
Maybe that is a good point.
Don't you think so? It's correspondence. It's basically you make a claim, you have a subject, and you predicate an attribute to the subject. So the cat is black. That's a claim. And now what makes that claim true?
If the cat is actually black.
It has to be black. It has to correspond to reality.
If the cat is calico, then it's not black.
The oven is on. What makes that true or false?
It's hot.
Whether it's hot. And it's interesting. Every other theory of truth, if they say, no, the correspondence theory is not true, here's what's true. Guess what they're doing? They're saying my theory corresponds to reality. Do you see that? You can't deny
they're using the correspondence theory in order to disprove the correspondence theory.
You call that a practical contradiction. You can't deny the correspondence theory of truth without affirming it.
Like jumbo shrimp.
or I can't speak English. That's a practical contradiction.
I like that.
I had a thought recently. You know how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And
right.
You ask yourself, how is a person, a human being, you know, Jesus is 100% human, 100% God. How is he the truth? And I think it's because as God, he creates everything. He is ultimate reality, and everything has to correspond to him.
I think that's a good point. And the other thing, oftentimes when I like to pray through the Lord's Prayer each day and amplify on the points, and when I pray, hallowed be thy name,
yeah.
One of the things I'll pray from time to time is, you are true, and your word is true.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures tell us God cannot lie.
That's right.
So Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Everything he says is truth. Everything he does illustrates the truth.
Yes.
As the creator, he produced truth.
Yes.
Everything about him corresponds to reality.
He is reality. So right. For something to be true, it needs to correspond to him. He is the standard. He's the definition. He's basically the criteria for even New Testament truth.
Right.
Right? It all goes back to him. It's not a whole lot that's new.
Right. We could argue the same thing about the Old Testament, and some people do.
Right.
Some people say Christ is found all through the Old Testament.
Right, it all points to him there, too. Okay, so Now that we know what truth is and what our standard is, here's a question from Cyprian.
Wasn't Cyprian one of the church fathers, I think?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
But this is a different Cyprian?
Yeah. It wasn't a time-traveling email from the 3rd century or 4th century.
Yeah, okay.
He says, if Jesus takes away the sins of the world, something we've often talked
about, John 1:29,
does that mean everyone is forgiven by God?
No.
So why not? So let's address that. He has two questions. Let's address that first of all.
One point most people don't recognize is that the doctrine of forgiveness is almost completely absent in John's gospel.
Interesting.
There's only two places it's found, one explicitly and one implicitly.
Okay.
The only explicit place is after Jesus died and rose from the dead.
Yes.
He does mention something about forgiveness to the apostles.
Okay.
In John chapter 20, in verses 21 through 23. Could you read that, John?
Yeah. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
That is the only reference explicitly to forgiveness in the entire book.
Of John. Yeah.
And it's after Jesus rose from the dead. And what I think he's saying, and most commentators would say, is this probably relates to church discipline.
Okay.
And it's saying if you're convinced someone is unrepentant, then you're not extending forgiveness to them and they're going to experience judgment in this life. On the other hand, if they have repented, then you're going to extend forgiveness to them.
Okay.
It's possible some people might say that this refers to something else, but there is no gift of forgiveness, at least initially in the early church, that went along with believing in Christ.
Okay, wait, say a little more about that.
Okay. In the early church, Acts chapter 2, for example, people came to faith when they believed in Jesus, but Peter says in Acts 2:38 that they had to repent and be baptized to receive the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
So it took more than faith in Christ to receive the forgiveness of sins. It's not until we get to Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and the Gentiles that the forgiveness of sins occurs at the moment of faith. We do find that in Acts 10:43. Whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
From that point forward, anyone, evidently including Jews and Samaritans, when they simply believed in Jesus, they received the forgiveness of sins, which probably, I think, in Acts 10:43 refers to fellowship forgiveness.
Well, okay, so here's the question. This is actually Cyprian's second question. What does it mean to be forgiven? And does it mean removing the penalty for sin? And I can think of another question. What sins are forgiven? Is it all your sins up until that point? Because it sounds like from John 20, you're going to be committing future sins, and those future sins are not automatically forgiven. It seems like something else needs to happen.
Right. Well, most people argue, and I think it's correct, that there is a sort of a positional forgiveness that says that God gives us a kind of a carte blanche positional forgiveness. Colossians 2 talks about that, and there's some other verses. But I think Acts 10:43 talks about fellowship forgiveness, and it's saying you begin the Christian life forgiven.
Yeah.
You don't have to confess all your sins before you were born again to get forgiveness.
Yeah.
However, after that, 1 John 1:9, we need to confess our sins to get fellowship forgiveness. So we need to constantly be honest with God about our sins. And so what happens is there's a distinction between taking away sins. John 1:29 is basically saying the gap between God and man has now been bridged by the cross, so that now our sins do not separate us from the free gift of eternal life if we simply believe. But we're dead, we need life. And by the way, he talks about the penalty of sin.
Yeah.
Forgiveness does not eliminate the penalty of sin.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think a lot of people would think it would.
Okay, let's say, for example, that David committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Uriah.
Yeah.
And God forgives him. Did that eliminate all the consequences?
No, it doesn't.
No, because if you look at 2 Samuel 12 through 24, you find that his child died. The son that was born to him and Bathsheba died.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the penalties of his sin.
Yeah.
Another thing is Absalom rebelled, and Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. And then Absalom died. Right?
Right.
And then David foolishly numbers the people, and multitudes die when a plague goes through Israel. All of that is part of the penalty of sin.
Right, that's right.
And he should have died, right? If we commit adultery, stoning takes place.
Right.
But God forgave him and didn't take his life. But the truth is, let's say, Sean, you go out and you commit murder. Let's say the penalty for murder in Texas, they give you life in prison without parole.
Yeah.
Well, if God forgives you, does that mean you don't go to prison? True.
That's not true. I still have to go to prison.
Right.
I can be forgiven in prison and still have to go.
And God
can,
that's one of
sentence.
The consequences God allows, because Romans tells us that the government is God's agent to bring about justice.
I mean, the passage that really changed my mind about this, and we'll have to end soon, is at Kadesh Barnea, when Israel refused to enter into the land, God said, you know, you're all going to die in the wilderness. In that passage, and I can't think of where it is offhand, it says that God has forgiven them, but you have to die in the wilderness.
Right, exactly.
That was the first time I realized forgiveness and the penalty are two different things, and you can be forgiven and still have to suffer the penalty.
Right. Forgiveness will mean, if you have turned back to the Lord, that you're not adding additional consequences.
Mm.
And sometimes forgiveness does mean that God suspends the consequences. Like with David, he did suspend the death penalty, but he didn't suspend other consequences. Basically, what we need to realize is forgiveness is a fellowship term between us and God. It means that we've restored our fellowship with him. It doesn't mean the consequences are gone.
That's 1 John chapter 1, fellowship and then also the forgiveness together,
right,
all in one chapter. Well, Cyprian, thank you for your questions, and keep on sending them to us at radio@faithalone.org. You can also go to our Facebook page, and you can send us messages that way. Grace Evangelical Society is the name of our organization there. And we hope to see you online or in person at one of our regional conferences, which you are warmly invited to attend. All right, see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about repentance, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.